So we see that as beneficial to our customers. But those partners also compete with each other in terms of innovation. So we see that a lot of the ecosystem partners try to offer as many added value capabilities in their products that they could possibly can, which really brings our ecosystem forward as well, and which offers our customers choice and therefore better prices and a better solution. So second is innovation. Because we're not tied to hardware, we can bring a lot of new capabilities in software. For us, it's literally as easy as releasing an upgrade to the existing software to bring new capabilities and features to our solution. So no more need to pick that PBX and drive a forklift in there, drive it out, and bring in a new one. You can just upgrade the software that runs on the servers to bring the new capabilities of the new platform to your solution. Then productivity. This is very much tied to that software integration inside of application. We see a lot of information workers that do most of their work behind a PC. So their world of productivity sits inside of software. And if we can bring communication into those applications, then we see that we're able to bring a whole new type of productivity to the end user workspace by bringing communication interfaces straight to the desktop inside of the applications that a user is typically using to do his or her work. And finally, lower cost. Because of the fact that the way software works, we see that we have scalability advantages. You can run it in the cloud. You can run it yourself in your own data centers. You can virtualize it if you want to. So really driving lower costs by the use of software. Very key to our vision around our platform. Now, if you look at Link 2010, then we chose to change the name of the product when we released Link Server 2010. But if you look back, this is, depending on how you look at it, it's either a version 3 or it's a version 5. So back in 2003, we started with Live Communication Server 2003, which was sort of an IM and presence solution. Then in 2005, we introduced Live Communication Server 2005. Or LCS. LCS had very basic capabilities around telephony. So one of the things it could do is click-to-call integration with a PBX, where I could go into my communicator client, set up a call with someone, and the live communication server would instruct the PBX to have my phone ring a certain other phone. So very basic telephony interfaces, but the telephony workload still sits in the PBX. Now in 2007, we introduced what was the first release in a new vision of communication. And that release was called Office Communication Server 2007. Now, one of the key features that were inside that product was basic enterprise voice telephony capabilities for information workers. So literally the ability for a information worker to make use of the communicator soft phone client to make and receive phone calls inside the organization, but also to the telephony network, for example, to call a mobile phone or some other customer or organization. So that was our first step towards a vision of being able to replace enterprise PBXs. So then at the end of 2008, we released Office Communication Server 2007 R2. Which was an incremental release to OCS. Two main pillars in that product. First one was to optimize conferencing by including a rich dial-in conferencing solution so that you no longer have to procure all those conferencing minutes from an external party. You can just run them on your own servers, which is, for a lot of large organizations, a very positive business case. But second, to also add a couple of critical voice features into the platform to be able to take on more PBX type scenarios in the product. So examples of that are, for example, the boss admin solution, so that if someone has an administrative assistant, we can handle those call forwarding scenarios, but also the ability to have a hunt group, for example. So if I have a department and we have a department phone number and everyone's phone should start ringing if someone calls that number. Capabilities like that we put in OCS 2007 R2 as well. Now, very important, we never positioned OCS or OCS R2 as a PBX replacement. So what we typically said to customers, you can replace your PBX with this if you feel that the features are sufficient for you. But in general, we don't position it as an enterprise PBX replacement.
There were two reasons for that. So the first one is that we felt that we still were lacking certain capabilities in the platform. But the second piece for us was that we had certain dependencies on the Microsoft infrastructure to make that solution work, for example, on Active Directory and so on, which is different from a traditional PBX that sits fairly independent from the rest of the IT infrastructure. So with Link 2010, we brought in those capabilities that we felt we were lacking in OCS R2 to do enterprise voice PBX replacements. But we also made significant architectural changes in the platform to sort of decouple the Link voice workload from the rest of the infrastructure. So it works with the rest of the infrastructure. But if things go down in the environment, such as Active Directory, it shouldn't, but it can still happen, then Link can still survive for telephony capabilities. And we felt that was crucial to be able to position this as a PBX replacement. Now, because of that different positioning, we also chose to change the name. And we chose Link. And Link is sort of a combination of the word link with an I as being connected to each other, and sync as being synchronized to each other, because we really see it as a tool that helps people connect with each other and be able to communicate and be in touch with each other and up to date of each other's status. And so for us, this is really the end of a sort of a three-year journey towards being able to do enterprise PBX replacements for customers that choose to do so. Now, if you look at Link, there are three things that stand out for us in that product. So the first one is we're very focused on end-user adoption. So we try to make the solution as simple as possible to use for a typical person. So what we saw traditionally is, if you look at a PBX phone, has hundreds of different features, but typically no one knows how to use it. So you have maybe those strange codes like, yeah, I need to do *#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*#*# or understand that capabilities. So instead, we try to make it very graphical in a softphone client, make it very easy for people to use, visual with icons and so on, to ensure that the capabilities that sit in the platform are very easy to use. For example, if I want to set up a conference, it's literally dragging people into that call, and that's it, and I have a conference. What happens in the background is very complex, but the user shouldn't be bothered with that. It should just be as simple as just dragging people into that call, for example. Now, second, converged communications. We try to put as many workloads as we can into this platform to be able to come to that reduced cost because of a converged solution that can handle multiple workloads in a single solution, because we feel it has a lot of advantages for our customers in procuring the solution, licensing, support, and so on, but also on end-user friendliness. And finally, ease deployment and migration through interoperability. This has really been a focus for us throughout the development of this solution, back from OCS to Link where we are today. Is Link can work with whatever type of communication solution that you have today. That's really our vision. So for customers that want to replace everything with Link, fine, we can do that. But there are also customers that say, well, I still have a PBX in a certain location and I'm not ready to replace that yet. We can also integrate with such a PBX to make sure that those two worlds work together. And then you can choose to put certain workloads on one platform and certain workloads on the other platform. And we do this across three axes. So the first one is IM and presence, so chat messages and presence, audio, video, web conferencing, and enterprise voice and telephony. So if you look at interoperability, for example, we connect with other Link deployments or OCS deployments, but also with public IM clouds like Windows Live Messenger or Yahoo or AOL or with Google Talk even. If you look at conferencing, we're doing a lot of work to be able to bring the world of Link conferencing and connect that to the world of more high-end devices like a Polycom video infrastructure, for example, where you can do more high-end video. But still, in some cases, you want to use your Link line because you're sitting in a hotel, for example, and you don't have time to go to that super high-end conference room in the office. So we really try to bring those worlds together and make it seamless for users to be able to communicate with each other no matter where they are and what device they have at hand. Now, if it comes to telephony, then we certainly see that our customers, especially large customers, typically plan their communication infrastructure over a longer period of time. So once a large organization chooses to procure a certain brand of PBX, for example, it usually means that a significant investment is made in a certain platform. And maybe 2 years later, Microsoft comes along and say, hey, we have this new product called Link Server 2010. Well, for a lot of organizations, that means that the time is not right to immediately remove all the existing infrastructure that they have, remove all the phones, because there's still such a large active investment in that. So with Link, we try to bring as much as we can to that platform and offer customers choice in the way that they want to bring that solution to their organization. And we can do that in three different ways. So the first one is PBX replacement. For customers that have an older PBX and need to replace or upgrade that, so they're looking at making an investment in that platform, we look at Link and we say, well, you could consider using Link as your new PBX, so to say. It does a lot more than a PBX, but it can also take on the workload that sits in a PBX today. So for customers that are at that cycle of their, at that stage in the life cycle of their PBX, we can replace the solution with Link. Now, for some organizations, they see the value of Link, but they also have that PBX phone in place and they're not ready to remove that. Well, in those cases, we can integrate with that PBX, and you can offer the users both. So you have either a PBX phone at your desk or you use a Link client. So, for example, we see this with one of our references, Royal Dutch Shell. People in that organization have both. They have a PBX phone at their desk, but they also have the Link soft phone to make and receive phone calls, and users can choose whatever they want. And they see that really also as a transition period until that PBX is written off. PBX will go away, and Link will be the new communication solution. And finally, for customers that fairly recently bought a new PBX and all kinds of new phones and so on, who are just not ready to migrate that workload to the Microsoft platform, we can also add unified communication capabilities to that PBX solution. Think, for example, about conferencing and the ability to have very easy-to-use dial-in conferencing and audio conferencing, video conferencing. A lot of these things don't sit natively in many PBXs, so you can add those capabilities to your existing PBX and make those two work together. So, for example, if I have a conference on the Link platform, I can still use my PBX phone to dial into that conference, and we also have some optimizations in the client to make that as easy to use. For example, I could click on my PC that I want to join that conference, and Link will actually call my PBX phone so I can pick up that phone and I'm in that conference and we can start communicating. And so we see that as really a transition to the future for customers that are not ready to replace their PBX yet, but who do want to add certain unified communication capabilities to the platform that they have in their organization. So a lot of choice for customers depending on where they are in their life cycle. Now, if you look at Link at the client, so this is what it looks like. So a couple of things that we have done in Link as opposed to OCS. I think the first one that immediately is noticeable is the use of pictures. So we see that communication, as people are starting to work more maybe internationally or across time zones and so on, the use of pictures just makes communication just that little bit more personal. So if I'm working in an international organization and I get a call from someone, at least I can see what that person looks like instead of just hearing their voice. So just a tad of additional personalization in that client. So in the top, you see everything that's about the end user himself, so the name, the picture of the person, but also the ability to see what my current presence is and to change that presence so I can communicate to the rest of the organization if now would be a good time to give me a phone call, for example. And new in Link is also that we can now relay location information across the organization if you want to, meaning that it's very easy for me to be able to inform the rest of the organization if I am in the office, for example, today, or if I am working from home. So again, making it a little bit easier for people. I don't have to walk to someone's desk, see if the person is there. I can just see it in my Link client, and I can save myself the trouble of walking there. So some other things that we've done is being able to put your frequent contacts in there, so I can just make sort of a quick dial list, and of course the contact list that we have in Communicator as well. But we also done a lot of SharePoint integration right in Link. So in some cases, if you want to communicate with somebody and you know the name of that person, it's very easy. You just type in a name. But in some cases, you're looking for someone with a specific set of expertise. So for example, I'm looking for the account manager of a certain customer, but I don't know the name of that person. And we can now do a search in SharePoint right from the Link client to be able to find the right person for the right question. So you can really look on keywords and skills inside SharePoint right from the Link client. Now, second on conferencing. This is one of the important workloads in our platform, and also the one where I think we really distinguish ourselves from other solutions in market. For us, it's very much about having a single unified interface that does everything that has to do with real-time communications. So, for example, if I am in a conference, it should be seamless to me whether it's an IM conference, so having an IM session with more than two persons, or a video conference, or an audio conference, or if I have content, should all be seamless, and I should literally be able to switch between those different types of media. So that's what we do in our client, what you also see here in the screenshot. So you see at the right, the blue piece, that's content that you're sharing. You're looking at that live with all people in a conference. And on the left, you see a video session, so you can see actually the person who's talking. In the bottom with the Polycom solution, the round table device that makes a 360 degrees panoramic image of the meeting room. So you can literally see who's at the table. You see a chat session in the background there, but also very important, you can actually see who is in that conference. So you may notice this from a traditional PSTN conference bridge. A call always starts with, okay, who's in the call? And then everyone needs to mention who's in the call. With Link, you can just literally see who's in the call. And even better, you can also visually see who is speaking in the call. So if someone starts to talk, you can see a little icon there showing who that is. So if you don't know names with voices, maybe, that really helps you to optimize that communication. But also, if someone is generating a lot of background noise, for example, someone is in a train or in a car, you can also see who's generating the background noise. So we right-click, mute, and that disturbance is out of that call. So really optimizing that communication flow again. So other things we have done is on the PSTN conferencing, we've added a couple of capabilities in the platform to be able to do rich audio conferencing on the platform, for example, to do a roll call, do a mute all, and so on. All these things that you know from a traditional ACP, those sit in Link as well. So you can literally replace your ACP, which is typically a fairly high expensive solution for large organizations. You can just migrate that entire workload to Link and be done with all the operational expenses that you have for conferencing. At least the variable expenses that you have on usage of that solution. So other things, high definition video. And we've also built a reach client. So for people outside of your organization who want to join that meeting, but that may not necessarily have Link, well, we can bring those people into that communication and conferencing solution as well. So making it really easy to reach as many people as you can with this solution. And finally, enterprise voice. One of the main investments that we've made in Link, we took a lot of learnings that we had from OCS in terms of UI. And we've also done a lot of work to really focus on the perceived quality of the end user, because that's what we've learned. Quality in terms of telephony is not absolute in the sense that people may have a different expectation of what things should work like depending on how you present certain things to them. So for example, if you look at the slide here, then you see a signal bar here. Well, that signal bar is the same concept that we have on a mobile phone. And that signal bar gives a visual indication of what the network quality is right now for that call. So it's the same as with a mobile phone. If I have one bar of signal, I expect something different than if I have five bars of signal. And we try to do the same here, and it really controls the perception of the end user on what the quality of that call is. But also, if you look at that yellow bar that you see here, sometimes things happen on a voice call that really influence the perceived quality of the user. So for example, my laptop has a built-in microphone, like many laptops have today. But what we see is that the quality of that microphone that's built in is not really optimal for doing a good quality audio call. Now, so suppose I'm using my built-in laptop microphone and speaker, and I'm having a call with Ari. And Ari has a very nice headset, and we are having our call. And then what will happen is Ari will start complaining to me, saying, well, the voice quality that I'm getting is not that good. And what would I say? Well, sounds fine on my end, so it's probably you who are having problems, which is absolutely not true, because I am causing that problem because of the microphone that I'm using. So what we do in Link now is I would see a visual indication in my client saying that my device is causing poor audio quality, but at the same time, on the other side, we also surface that message saying, well, the other side is causing poor audio quality. Again, really controlling perception, but also providing users with feedback what it is that they can do to solve that problem and to improve that quality. And we see that as a huge improvement over perceived quality of the user. So it's like if you know what is wrong and you can fix it, then the perceived experience of the user turns out to be much more positive than if it just doesn't work the way they expect to. So we really focused on that piece of user experience too, and we try to look at it end to end. So it's like mouth to ear, mouth on one side and ear on the other side. That's the entire experience that we want to control and be able to provide the best-in-class experience, making it as good as we can possibly can. So other things we've done is device switching, which we see in the pull-down menu on the screenshot here. If I plug in multiple types of devices, so I could plug in an IP phone and I could plug in a headset, we can now also seamlessly switch between those devices during a call without putting the call on hold, without dropping a call, so making it very easy for people to switch between different endpoints. Again, something that we've learned from the past releases that we had. So other things that we've done is we added some voice capabilities that you see in traditional PBXs that we felt that were needed in our platform too. Visual voicemail is one of them. So inside the client, I can literally see all the voicemails that I have, and I can play them back, and I can fast forward in those voicemails. So if someone, well, you must recognize this, someone leaves a voicemail of 1 minute, and at the end they tell you what their phone number is on which they're reachable, but you didn't have a pen at hand, and you need to replay the entire voicemail again to catch that number. Well, no longer in Link, you can just play back to the specific piece where the number is dialed. But even then, there's also a button to just say call back. So optimizing that type of experience. But also private line, something that sits in many PBXs. So if I have an administrative assistant and my wife calls, for example, then she should be able to reach me directly without ending up with my administrative assistant. So call delegation related to that scenario. Call park, so if I am in a call and I want to take that call in a more private room because it's a personal call or something that I cannot have that discussion on the work floor, literally park the call, walk to a free conference room, and pull the call to the device that sits there by using a code that was provided to me when I used that call. So all of these PBX-type capabilities now sit in Link 2, which we feel enable organizations to replace their PBXs with Link when the time is right for them. Now, very important in our philosophy is that, yes, we'd like to see everyone using a Windows PC, but the trends today are that people have a richer variety of devices. So, for example, we see people coming in with different types of smartphones. Some people really insist on using an IP phone. Some people want to use a browser. We see, of course, Mac solutions, MacBooks and so on coming into enterprises. So we try to bring this concept of Link to as many platforms as we possibly can. So obviously we have a very nice client on Windows. We also have a client for the Macintosh operating system. There's also a browser client for conferencing. Later this calendar year, we'll also be releasing mobile clients for the dominant platforms. So obviously our own Windows Phone 7 or 7.5 that you may have seen this morning, but also for Apple iPhone and iPad, for Android, and also for Nokia S60 platform, and there's also a client available today already for BlackBerry. So really bringing that communication to any type of device that people are using. And we have a whole variety of desk phones too for organizations that really want to put a IP phone on the desk of the user. So in terms of voice, we've made some specific investments to claim that we can do PBX replacement. The first one, and maybe the most notable one, is the concept of the survival branch appliance. So if I am sitting in a branch office and that branch office loses connectivity because of a WAN outage to the main data center, for example, or to the main office. Now, with that survival branch appliance, you can still make and place receive phone calls in a branch office. So that's a survivability solution that typically enterprises want to have in a voice rollout. It's also similar to what they're used to from a PBX. Also data center resiliency. So if my data center fails, then I can even do a failover to a different data center if I want to. Again, really trying to provide as high available solution as we possibly can. Because that is what people are expecting from a PBX. If I pick up the phone, I should have a dial tone. That's the experience that we want to bring with Link2. Call up mission control. For organizations that have some concerns on specific network links, we can now control how many calls you can put over specific network links. And different from a typical PBX, we can do this for voice, or we can also do this for video. So really be able to be in control of your network and making sure that the unified communications workload don't push out all the other traffic. We can do that natively in the platform too, independent of what type of network that you have. So other things are, for example, malicious call tracing. So sometimes a reception gets a call from someone and maybe a threat is issued, making it very easy for someone to say, okay, something was said in this call and I want to flag this call and then I'm going to report it. And it makes it easy for the IT administrator to find that call and do all the forensics needed to highlight that call. So all of these PBX type capabilities sit in the platform. Now, manageability, for us, this is very important to keep in mind because what we see is if you would start deploying Link as a PBX, the typical IT organization takes on a workload of which people have a different expectation than from email. So for example, if email is down, that's very unpleasant for the end user, but typically it's perceived as not as bad as if the phone system is down, because using the phone, you should at least be able to call 112, the emergency number. So we try to make the manageability and the operational support as rich as we possibly can. So in terms of planning, we have a nice planning tool and so on. It helps you come to the right architecture based on your requirements. Now with deployment, we've made a couple investments. First one is a topology builder, where you literally model your organization, and we try to take away as many possible issues as you can by preventing you from deploying unsupported configurations. So for example, the topology builder prevents you from putting servers and server roles together on one box that we don't support. So really making sure that what you deploy is supported. We have a lot of PowerShell infrastructure now. So everything that you can do in Link can be done using PowerShell, making it very easy to do script and bulk administration and so on. And it also sits, of course, very nice in the more modern Microsoft management infrastructure. On the administration side, there's a control panel, of course, so a graphical user interface to do management and maintenance. PowerShell, of course, role-based access control. So for organizations that say, well, the user management, that's a certain team that's doing that. But the telephony type of workload, that's a different team that has a different expertise. You can now delegate those different types of management roles to different people in the organization. And something else that we've added is server draining. So if you need to do maintenance on a server, you could have, of course, just take it out of production, run a patch on it, and then bring it up again. But it means that all the users that were connected to that system get disconnected once you take that server out. So with server draining, you can mark a server, say, I want to start doing maintenance on this box. What will happen is that all the active connections will continue to get served until they are closed, but the server will stop accepting new connections. So literally that server drains off all the active connections without impact to the end user. Once that server is empty, so no active users on it, you can start doing your maintenance on it. So that's how we think about bringing a high available solution to end users. And then finally, monitoring, very important. So of course, we have a management pack for System Center Operations Manager. Also the monitoring server that gives you insight into the call quality that happens on a network, both for audio and video, so you can literally monitor what is happening in your network. But also synthetic transactions, which allows the system to make sort of test calls between various sites, for example. And that helps you to troubleshoot if something is going wrong before people will start noticing it. So, for example, you could come in the early morning in the office, and you can see that certain synthetic transactions between the various sites are going wrong. You can immediately start working on that before your users actually come into the office and start experiencing that problem themselves. Now, finally, devices. This is very important in our solution because we feel that the end user device is key to the end user experience. So from an IT perspective, that device may be perceived as, yeah, okay, but that's the last piece of the experience. So if we get everything right in front of that, how much is the device going to do? But you really need to look at it from the end user perspective. And from the end user perspective, that device is the first meter of the experience. So it's very important that that device has the right quality. Now what we've learned is that no two people have exactly the same preferences in terms of device. So some people prefer a cabled headset, others prefer a wireless headset. Some people just prefer the fact that the user experience of picking up a hook off the phone, because that is what telephony is to them. So we try to bring as many choices as we can in the ecosystem. So on the one hand, we have IP phones, ranging from low cost to more high cost conferencing spider phones, but also a whole variety of of USB devices that work in tandem with the soft phone client. So that means, for example, if there's a volume button on the headset, well, that volume button should work with the soft phone client. If there's a call pickup button on the headset, I get an incoming call, I hit that button, the soft phone should pick up that call. So that's the type of integration that we think about. And that's also why we have a qualification program in the market called the Optimized for Microsoft Link program. What that program means is that the device that has that logo on it meets the quality bar that we expect in terms of, for example, the microphone and so on, so that it can handle the rich quality that we want to have in Link, but also that the UI buttons and so on in the device work together with the software. And then finally, that platform that we have, we see a lot of partners hooking onto that platform. So for example, in the infrastructure side, a lot of device manufacturers that build specific solutions for Link, headsets, phones, and so on. Gateway vendors that help us to connect to legacy PBXs or to the PSDN network, but also SIP trunking providers that allow you to bring your voice calls purely over IP into your data center. Then, of course, a lot of system integrators. So this is just a random intersection of what we have on a global and regional scale. So these are all companies that can help organizations deploy this into production. And finally, on top of the APIs that sit in our product, we allow organizations to build a whole variety of added value on top of Link. So we really see a lot of application partners build specific solutions on top of Link. For example, for contact centers, for very specific attendant console solutions, maybe line of business integrations, in a hospital, paging-like solutions. So all these things can be built on top of Link as a platform. And that's where we really see a whole ecosystem that has grown over the past years around Link. So again, a lot of choice for our customers to pick the right vendor for the right piece of infrastructure that they need so they can have the right cost and the right level of innovation on top of their Link solution. And we feel that that really brings together a very nice solution regardless of the size of the type of organization, because there's so much choice, there's typically a right solution for the right customer in our ecosystem. That's the end of my presentation. So I think we'll open up for questions now.
Thank you, Thijs. Nyt voi ottaa muutaman kysymyksen. Mä tuon mikrofonin, niin me saadaan samalla tuon nauhoituksen sen mukaan pieni.
Juhani Enimäki, Konecranes IT. Can you comment on the audio capabilities in web and mobile clients? What's the roadmap?
Right. So the question is the audio capabilities that we have in the web and the mobile clients. So on a web client, if you would join that web client for a conference, that web client would provide you can provide you with a menu to say where do you want to be reached. And that system, the system will then call you on the phone number that you provide. So we don't do natively voice over IP in the web client today. It is something that we aspire to have in a future release, of course. But today we don't do so because of the, well, we want to do it the right way. And instead of working with all kinds of complex plugins and so on, we just want to make a native solution that works on pretty much any device. Now, on a mobile client, that's a different story. So we will be releasing mobile clients later this year for the platforms that I mentioned, so iPhone, Android, iPad, Windows Phone 7, and Nokia S60. There will be voice integration on those platforms, but that voice integration is over the cellular data channel or the cellular GSM channel. So it's like a GSM call. Now, the reason why we do it this way is if we really look at the typical IW scenario with a sort of information worker scenario with a mobile phone, I mean, technically, yes, you can do voice over IP. That's not the challenge of doing it. It's the challenge of making it in a way that is usable to people. So one of the key concerns is battery life that we have. So if you would do voice over IP on a mobile phone, that would mean that you have a continuous data channel open. That data channel literally drains your battery. It's a battery killer. So what we're a bit worried about is what will happen is if you use that data channel all day to make phone calls, then at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, your battery's dead. And we don't think that's a very useful scenario to have in an enterprise organization. It's even worse if you use Wi-Fi, by the way. At the same time, the 3G networks that you see on a global scale, because we target this to work on a global scale, the quality of those 3G networks typically are not what we think is good enough to make decent voice calls. And then you have all kinds of problems with hands-off between different signal towers and so on. For example, if you're in your car, it's very difficult if you're traveling to maintain a voice channel over over the data network in a reliable way. And for us, it's very much about reliability and so on. Now, if an organization insists on being able to do voice over Wi-Fi, for example, there are solutions in our ecosystem that enable that capability. For example, Altigen has a client, Demaka has a client that brings voice over IP to a smartphone device. But for us, it's literally about making an experience that is useful to people. It's not about bringing as many features that we can on that phone. For us, we're focused on bringing an experience to the phone that people want to use because it makes sense to them. And if that experience means that the battery is drained at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, then for us, that's not the right thing to have. We will get there, so we're working on that. But we're really focused on bringing in an experience that works today in market, so to say. So we're very focused on building something that doesn't kill your battery, for example, on the phone. And today, while using voice over IP, having a continuous channel open is very expensive on that phone. So that's why we chose to use a cellular data channel for now.
One question. And the last one, then we have to take a break.
Okay. Hello, Kirsi Antare from Figaro. Mm-hmm. So what is the situation with the partner coverage and for the online service in Europe for SIP trunking nowadays? What is the situation with the partner coverage for Lynk online service for European data centers? I know that's quite well for American side, but what is the situation now for European?
Okay, so your question is what are SIP trunking providers for Europe, what we have for European data centers on our online service? I wouldn't know myself, to be honest. I can follow up with you offline unless you know the answer.
I think we can take that question and came back.
Yeah. So just if you can give me your contact details afterwards, and I'll get back to you on that. Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunately, we don't have the question about the global coverage about the SIM trunking solutions and the partnership and the roadmap. Unfortunately, we can't comment it, but we can take it back, this question. And now we have to take a break. Thank you very much, Paul, and thank you, Thijs. Okay.